Welcome to the Entrepreneurs in Bali podcast, where the spirit of adventure meets the passion of entrepreneurship. Nestled in the heart of Indonesia's paradise island, Bali, we bring you stories of daring individuals who have woven their dreams into the fabric of this magical place. Each episode dives into the journeys of innovators and creators who have chosen Bali not just as a backdrop, but as a vital participant in their entrepreneurial voyage. From the rice fields to the surf beaches, from digital nomads to local visionaries, join us as we uncover the challenges and triumphs of building a business in Bali. Whether you're seeking inspiration, adventure, or insights into the world of entrepreneurship in one of the most beautiful settings on earth, you found your community right here. So tune in and let's embark on this journey together. Welcome to Entrepreneurs in Bali.
Welcome back. Another ice cream. This is becoming a thing now. Definitely going to make ice cream a thing. I love ice cream and I think everyone does. If you don't like ice cream, please see a doctor. There must be something wrong. But this is gelato. I don't want to call it ice cream. Ice cream is a bit of an insult, I would say.
Yeah. The real ice cream is from Italy, right? So we call it
exactly.
Gelato.
Yes. So this is Freddie. And Freddie, I met here in Bali. Very nice guy to talk to. Very nice to have a conversation with him. So I decided to invite him so that we can brainstorm a bit, and we'll get to that later. We'll be setting up a $1 million company in the next 30 to 40 minutes.
That's right.
And we'll do it in a way so that you guys can do it. So we'll be brainstorming all of that so that you guys can go ahead and do the things that we planned out for you. So I believe that's going to be super nice for all of you. We're giving you for free. You don't have to pay us for this. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. I'm kidding. No, we don't want your money. You can just subscribe and like and leave a comment. That would be awesome. And whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening to it on any of the podcast platforms, we are on all of them. Welcome. And we actually suggest come and look on YouTube if you're not on YouTube already, because we're literally outside in Bali and that's the whole idea with ice cream. So I'll let Freddie go ahead, tell us just briefly where he's coming from, what he's doing now, and why I decided to come and do that in Bali.
Thank you, Daniel.
I'll enjoy my ice cream while you say that.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for the ice cream. Yeah, my name is Frederick. I'm 43 years old. I've been in Bali now for 4-5 months in total, except a little stop in the Philippines. As you probably know, you have to do visa runs if you live in Bali from time to time. Mm-hmm. And my first one was to Philippines.
Nice.
I came here from Dubai. I'm a business developer and entrepreneur. I've been doing anything from taxi companies to startups to beach volley companies in the past. So very broad and non-specific experience. And I came here actually as in a visa run from Dubai. I wanted to go to India on a little weekend trip. But my friend here, Oscar, which I had in the podcast in the past, he convinced me to come here. And it was pretty easy since I'm a surfer.
Yeah.
So I came here. 1 week became 2 weeks. 2 weeks became 1 month. Now we're 4 or 5 months.
Yes.
Counting.
Nice.
And I don't really see, not a rapid end to it. But I always take it 1 month at a time. So it's a very special feeling to be here in Bali. It's a shocking contrast compared to Dubai or even to Europe or Sweden, where I'm from. I was 1 year in Dubai working with startups, which was fun, super exciting. But when I came back to Sweden over the summer last year, I felt something that this is more a place I wanted to be. I still came back to Dubai. I did the visa run to Bali and I got the same feeling. I got the feeling that this is a good place also. And the biggest contrast that I really liked was that since I'm from Europe, it's very important with culture, and it's so easy to cross a border and you learn very, very fast that it's cultural differences and they have a big part of everything you do. If you're concluding business, you're hanging out with friends, celebrations with family, it's important thing of life. Coming here from Dubai, it was a soft landing again from coming from a place where just money and business is in the center. So I came here to talk business, right? But the other things are important too. Yeah. You need other things too.
It's called entrepreneurs in Bali. So yeah. Bali is just as important as entrepreneur side. So
yeah.
I don't think there was an episode where we didn't rave about Bali, and it's not on purpose. It's just we all love Bali.
Yeah.
So it's hard not to speak good of Bali. I know a lot of people can go to Philippines or wherever, but I'm promoting for people to come to Bali. Okay, I haven't been to the Philippines, but I've been a lot of places and I love Bali. Bali is like so relaxed. Just yesterday I was thinking of the kind of people that are here in Bali. Not just the locals, but also the expats and nomads. Like the kind of person that are here is just like so chill and so down to earth.
But yeah, they seem to have this extra layer of humbleness here. Mm, yeah. That are just affecting everybody that comes here. Of course, you bring your own culture.
Mm.
But you see that they built something nice here and you kind of don't want to destroy it.
Yeah.
We have different time zones and sometimes I work towards Sweden. I work late nights, like you, Daniel. I was out for a late dinner at like 2 o'clock or something and I met a Portuguese couple. This guy has been here for 4 years.
Yeah.
And he said, Bali is very special in the sense that it's the island of gods, right?
Mm.
Karma is very important. So if you come here with the bad karma, it's going to eat you alive.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy traffic,
yeah.
It's pace, infrastructure is not built out. You kind of have to, all the business rail or the railway for life. It's not really what you're used to, especially back home in Sweden. But if you come here with the right karma, you get the solution for everything, I think.
Everyone mentions the traffic, but there's traffic all over the world. In Cape Town, you're going to sit in traffic for an hour plus.
Yes, that's true.
In traffic time in London, you're going to sit for hours in traffic. So, like,
only difference is here, you're sitting behind the truck with a scooter.
Yeah, that's the only,
and the truck the spewing. Only difference.
Yeah.
Shit straight into your face.
But then I see like people from England complaining the traffic is so bad and they're never going to come back to Bali because the traffic is so bad. I'm like, have you ever been to London?
Let's say they came here with the wrong karma.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So just to chip in, we have a little shout out for a very cool guy that we decided to get some info from for you guys. So this is some valuable information for you guys. His name is Andy and he's one of the admins of a Facebook group called Digital Nomads Hub. So we'll leave a link for that Facebook group where all of you can join in the description down below. So he gave us five things. We asked him where he would suggest people look for example, like digital nomad jobs. If you guys are looking for digital nomad gig and you don't know where to find or where to start looking, he gave us his five best ones. So his number one is LinkedIn. So I think we all heard of LinkedIn by now. It's very popular and I've started to use LinkedIn a little bit more recently.
Oh yeah.
Than I used to.
LinkedIn, I must say, the cheapest way of promoting yourself.
Yeah.
You need to have a LinkedIn.
Yeah, especially for like a personal brand, things like
that.
Like I've got people DMing me or whatever, trying to connect, whatever they call it on LinkedIn, of all kinds of things that can be related to, for example, my business. Like one wants to market, help with marketing. That one wants to help with that. That one wants to help with that. I don't feel like I want help now, but for someone that might have been looking for that, would have been ideal. So that's LinkedIn. So start looking there if you want to get a job. Number two is remote job platforms. And he actually has a website where you can get things like that. So there's more remote job platforms. I'm sure you can just Google and you'll find tons. But we'll also leave a link in the description for his personal website where you can get remote jobs. And then number three is personal branding, like we just mentioned. Personal branding is by far the best way. For example, the guest we had on the podcast, Benny, the episode just before this, number seven, he actually got his first coding job from building his personal brand, as you might have heard when you listened to that podcast. And it wasn't intentional. Like he was posting on his Instagram and stuff of him learning how to do coding, and someone that he knew saw him posting and was in that field already, and they saw, okay, he's doing good now.
That's awesome.
So he gave him a job.
Yeah.
That's how, after 6 months of learning to code, he got his first, well, I think it said maybe 4 or 5 months, got his first gig and started to get paid for it. Now he's living in Bali.
That's just great.
Getting paid for coding and very cool. So that's personal branding. Post what you're doing. Be active on all social media. And then number four is networking. And that's more or less the same because obviously he was talking on his social media. But Andy, when he said networking, he was talking more in the sense of like physical, me and you now. Or if I go to BeWork now, when I speak to the people there, that's networking. There's also very good opportunities there. I believe that's actually our easiest way to get job opportunities, to get people to help you with certain things. Andy's number five is freelance instead of being an employee. That's what I vouch for as well. Freelance or starting your own business. But if you're freelance, you're technically starting your own business. And I would actually suggest not just freelancing, but as soon as you get that ball rolling, try to hire people so that you turn that freelancing gig into a business. And
yeah,
you'll be able to double, triple, quadruple your income in a fraction of months if you turn that freelancing job into a business. Anything you want to add on that before we start with creating a $1 million company?
I think it sounds good. It's a good introduction to doing business in Bali,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, the one guy in the episode, he started a recruitment company for Netherlands people to like give them remote jobs. And he actually mentioned that the one guy had a wife in the Philippines. And obviously he couldn't see her because he had his full-time job in Netherlands or wherever. But then he hooked him up with a remote job. So now he's able to live with his wife in the Philippines while still earning an income, still having a very good lifestyle, even though the salary is a bit less there compared to in Netherlands. But his lifestyle is still the same and he gets to be with his wife.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's always ways how people can get a job anywhere in the world. Even if you have a full-time job for your whole life in one direction, you can always move out, start something new, live in Bali or wherever you want to be. So are you ready to start a $1 million company?
100%, 100%.
So this is starting a $1 million company in 30 minutes. So let's see where this goes. So I just want to mention to all of you, Fred is not prepared. Like I messaged him last night and he was a little bit skeptical. I could pick up on his questions and I told him that I can't tell him. It's a surprise. So I wanted to keep this as organic as possible for the sense that you guys can see that it's the entrepreneurial mindset. It's not the fact that there's not opportunities. The one time I heard girls say that the new age and the new day, there's next to no opportunities left in the world. I was shocked. I'm like, what? Like my list is so long of things I can do and I have to focus on the little few things that I actually have time for. So it's clearly just the mindset. So that's what I want to show you guys. Like, neither one of us are prepared, even though I knew what it was. I knew what we were going to talk about. I made a point of not preparing at all because I want to show you guys that it's 100% just the way we think, not that we can think of ideas that's not there for you guys. The things we can think about is the exact same things that you guys can think about. So I want to start something. Let's say we start a business. Yep. But there's few criteria that it needs to go by. For example, they have to be able to do it online so that since this is entrepreneurs in Bali, needs to be in that sense where they can come to Bali. They don't need to be tied to a place. It can, I guess, like for example, my one business is a short-term rental company in Cape Town for holiday accommodation. If we can find a business that's location-based, but find a way to make it remote like I did.
Yeah.
I guess we can still allow that into this whole brainstorming that we're about to do. So that's the criteria. It needs to be able to be done remotely. Me or you or the viewers has to be able to sit in Bali while
But the case is that we're living in Bali.
Yes.
Okay. Why does it have to be remotely where you have a market which is 280 million? We're in right now.
The reason why is because I want them to be able to, for example, let's say they are sitting in New York in a cubicle office doing some paperwork for a business. I want them to be able to start a business while they are in that position.
Got it.
I don't want you to quit your job and move to Bali and then starting something. Don't do that. Start a business while you are fully employed. And then only once the finances allow you to quit your job, as soon as that income surpasses your monthly salary or even possibly double your monthly salary if you want to be safe, which it is definitely possible, then quit your full-time job and then you can say goodbye and move on like I did, which I'm very happy about. It took me a while, but eventually got there. Let's say the business can start in Bali, but they have to be able to start that from being wherever in the world they are.
All right, I got it.
That makes sense. Like, things that I look at in starting a business is it needs to be easily scalable. That's something that I learned the hard way. Like, I was looking at businesses, starting a few businesses. I lost count by far of the amount of businesses I've started. Like, the other day, I went through, I can't remember if it's old emails or like archived files and stuff. And I saw like logos and things that I made of businesses like, don't know how many years ago. I'm like, wow, I forgot I even started that business.
Yeah.
Things like that. And something that I learned early on was, sometimes it's easy to start a business, but if that business is not easily scalable, it's going to be very hard to take it from a mediocre business to a fully $1 million company.
Yeah.
We are going for a $1 million company.
Yeah.
And it definitely is possible to make a business be a $1 million company within the first year. Can you think of any ideas? I didn't think of any ideas beforehand, so I'm also quite open, but I'm sure I can think of some. We can always, you can give one, I can give one, and then we can try and narrow down.
We're looking at a platform,
okay,
like a digital platform. We could look at AI solution and go with the time on the wheel now, or we could do something more traditional that we, maybe you and me, understand better.
Mm.
But
let's go for something a bit more traditional.
Yeah.
A lot of the viewers might be a little bit like an older age as well. And something a bit more traditional, and that's what I also like, is catering to both.
Yeah.
Where if we go for AI, it's going to be a lot harder for someone that's maybe 40, 50 years old, sitting in an office their entire life, don't know anything more than just that one computer software that they've
Sounds
been using
good.
And working on. So let's see what we can do in that sense. I also just like the traditional things more. Like, I've tried all the popular things, and I know AI is one of the popular things now, and I'm not testing in that. I'm not jumping into that at the moment.
Yeah.
Even though my software do have an AI function, but I'm not promoting any AI business or software at the moment. What idea do you have in the traditional sense?
Are we looking at the product or platform?
Either one. If we look at a product, I feel in order for it to be easily scalable, a digital product, for example, like software in that sense, but I do understand for you guys, software is not going to be the best idea now, because you either need coding skills or you need a lot of money to be able to pay someone to code it for you, or you need like 6 months, as we learned in the other podcast, to learn how to code before you'll be able to code something, and that's going to take too much time. We want to get to a $1 million company in 12 months. I think software in those sense is going to be a bit out in this circumstance. We can always do something that's already existing.
Like, yeah. So regarding that, before we decide the product, I have an old partner who I used to tease for what he's saying, but it's something I'm bringing with me along all the businesses I do. It's kind of boring because it excludes all inventions, and inventions are things that change the world, right? But since we have to do this fast and we want to exclude all the risks, what he used to say is always simplicity, Freddy, simplicity, simplicity. You know, you don't have to invent the wheel again.
Yeah.
Always copy the best blueprint. You don't have to take gold in Olympics. Silver is good enough. It's going to make you a millionaire too.
Yeah.
If that's the foundation, okay, can we find an idea that is already working? It's profitable. They have a blueprint. We make a little twitch. Okay, we put our brand, we do a little bit different, or we use the same product and we see that we can use this product in another market and the product doesn't exist there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
because we understand the market fit. Is that a start?
Yeah. I would suggest if people don't want to exactly copy the exact thing that we're going to figure out, but want to do something like copy the idea of what we're about to come to, then I would strongly suggest that you guys go into something that you're already familiar with or using at the moment. So in this sense, let's do something that we are familiar with or that we might be using. We have already dabbled in co-working space. I don't think that's going to be fair to mention something like that.
Yeah.
Because we've spoken to that already about that. So it's going to be cheating if we mention that to them, because we've already planned that whole thing out. And it's also going to take a bit of a upfront cost. But although you can always get investors. So you guys don't need the money to start something like that. I would also suggest for people to either go like a solo entrepreneur. That's my opinion. I know some people will say partner, because then you have that pressure to work together to do things.
Yeah.
I don't need the pressure. So for me, I don't like partnering. Either solo, in my opinion, or going like massive, like a big business. Not small business is going to stay small forever. I don't like small businesses. In that sense, e-commerce might be a thing, but
I think the e-commerce, the competition is crazy at the moment. And since it's this entry level kind of business that easily attract a young crowd. Younger crowds normally move way faster. And the Shopify revolution, it kind of happened a couple of years ago. So I think it's very hard to do if you don't do it with real quality and you have a track record of doing it before. So maybe a little bit unsexier business. I
like unsexy business.
Unsexy business is
I
good.
Like it.
My experience also is normally before maybe 30, 35, you tend to think end consumer, B2C.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, you go to a restaurant, you're thinking about, okay, how could we do it better? You're consuming something as a private customer, and you're always thinking, okay, how can I come up with a better solution? But you don't have an experience of owning a business and buying from another business.
So I
think it's way easier to penetrate market with B2B than B2C.
And the budget is also there.
Like
if you cater to consumers, they always have a tight budget. I don't want to spend this much. So price point towards a consumer is a very important thing, while towards a business, as long as it makes financially sense for business, it won't matter what price you ask.
Yep.
Especially when I explain the system of my software to a consumer, they're like, wow, that's a lot of money that I charge per month just for a software. But they don't understand that I'm not charging the business to use the software. I'm charging the business to improve their cash flow and improve their consistent new customers coming in every month. And that has a massive effect on their income every month. So obviously I can charge this much. That's a fraction of the difference that they are getting from it. But for a consumer, this much looks like a lot. And on that, even the people that I train as like sales team, this is actually sad in a way, because a lot of people, they see this, see the software, see the price point that they need to be selling it to. They can't see themselves, because they have the consumer mindset, to like spend that much on the software. Now they feel less motivated to sell it. I would say about 10% of our sales people are like doing, like, I know that rule is 20-80. For us, it's like 10-90. Like 10% of the sales team are making 90% of the sales. And that's because that 10% understand what it is about, understand the business kind of aspect towards it. It's actually sad that other people losing and missing out on that opportunity to get that kind of an income just because they have this consumer mindset. So I think that's a great idea that you just mentioned. We need to go to for business.
Say that we have a platform that wants to sell something, wants to sell B2B instead of B2C. Okay, say that, for example, we want to sell a software, but we don't want to develop the software ourselves. We need to find developers. We need to shape the whole software. that could take a long time, and we need to test it, and we need to know that it has a market. So say that we have a platform that is directing different businesses that need different kind of softwares. We can sell other companies' softwares, maybe on a new market where these softwares aren't really pushed and they're still in need.
I just want to chip in on that. I saw so many advertisements online since I'm in the software business. So the cookies is in the software direction for me. So I see so many advertisements of people selling or advertising white label software. I would strongly suggest, I didn't touch on that, but don't go in there. Please don't. If people, if someone is making their software available to be white labeled for you to put your branding on their software, it's definitely not going to be a very good software, and you won't be able to make that software any better because you're not the developer, you're just a white label owner. So please stay away from that. For example, my software, it's not available as a white label, but it is available as a franchise because I still have my logo on that. I just allow other people to sell the same software with the license that they are buying from me. Please don't do white label. Just stay away from that. I don't want people to hear what we're saying now and then tomorrow you see a white label advertisement. I think you've just struck gold because here you get something that we said you can't, it's going to take long to develop or it's going to take a lot of money to make, and now you can get it for a cheap price. I promise you it's not going to be as well nicely oiled up as it should be. I want that to be like black on white for all of you guys. Very important. You said we're going to target businesses, and I think it's a good idea. Let's go with that, on the fact that we'll be linking them to other businesses that has software, and we can even go into the AI direction. Like we can do our own research of what is the best AI autoresponder on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Because there is so many, and I even seen BeWork people coding, making their own AI chatbot and all of that. So I know there's going to be millions, and a business looking to implement AI and other software in their business is not going to have the time to go look into 50 different chatbots, 50 different this automated AI thing, 50 different this. We as a business can look into all of them, find the best out of that one, find the best out of this one, find the best out of this one, package this, connect with that business, tell them like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to start a business that will link up other businesses to you. So technically, in a way, we are selling their product as well.
Yeah.
So we're just a middleman.
In Bali, I don't know any number, but just looking around, I would say that maybe more than 50% of the business people here are into content creation.
Yeah, a lot.
And the average age is probably around 23 to 25 years old. For me, it says something about the future. Maybe these people are not going to work in content creation their whole life, but they're definitely going to change the world with their content creation. And I think it also shows a little bit where marketing is going and where bigger and bigger companies are going to put their marketing budget. When you're doing content creation, you have several different platforms, and they're always coming new platforms, so you need to have knowledge about how these platforms work. You also need to have knowledge about how to tie these platforms together for your business. And while you're doing the content creation, most of the time it's going to take maybe 90 to 100% of your time. And when you're starting to grow and everything is becoming lucrative, you need to give this work away to someone, right? Right now we're talking about private persons, but I've heard that in the future content creation is going to be the main marketing source for all companies.
Should be already. Actually.
So when we're thinking, okay, a 23-year-old content creation could be a good source of business because some of them are earning a lot. But when companies are getting into content creation and they still outsource the scope of connecting different platforms, organizing finances, I think that's a big business.
Actually, while you were saying that, I got the idea. I'm sure there is something like this as well already. Our software can have sections, and I don't want to overcomplicate it, this, especially in the beginning. When you start off a business, stay as basic as possible and just do one thing and just launch that. let it start to generate money, and only after that then you start to complicate this. This is maybe something to put in the long-term plan for the business, is when you said about like marketing and content creation, we can add a section where there's, let's say I'm a holiday rental business, I go on now, I can see four buttons. The one button is, okay, I can go to AI automations, and now it gives me all the options there. But then one of the buttons can be marketing, and when I click on that, it's all the different directions, like it almost like a family tree.
Yeah,
I get to see like all the different options, and then one of them can be content creation, marketing. Now this can then link me, instead of business to business, now it's business to, I don't want to call it consumer, because the content creator, I guess he's also a business.
They're business people, yeah, so yeah. It's business to
I
business.
I guess that's a business, especially if it's professional with the whole team behind it. I'm just one guy with this podcast, so I guess I'm not big team, even though I'm just one guy. This is still a business at the end of the day. So that's still business to business then. And then me as the holiday rental company, I can then choose, or even buy a package. We can add it like a $1,000 a month package, $10,000 a month package for the business. Let's say they want to go with $10,000 is their marketing budget, and they want to spend that on this. We take like, let's say 10% of that, and then 9,000 goes toward the content creators that we think will be best for them, like best suited in that direction.
Yeah.
If the podcast is on holidays in Cape Town, obviously.
Yeah.
Or Cape Town in general, that's perfect for that holiday rental company. So then this podcast can mention them, or that this podcast can be sponsored by this business, which we then linked up in between.
Yeah.
So there's another point that we can add in, or maybe you guys like that idea and want to start off with that, and then later on add the AI thing or add some other business linking. I also want to mention, you guys are probably thinking like, okay, now how do they start this? That's what we also need to touch on, because we can give them the idea, but if they don't know how to start it, how to go about, where do they start to look, where do they get information, we need to touch on that as well. Where would, if you had to start this, where would you go for like getting some knowledge, doing like your research, market research, where would you jump in first?
That's a good question. Just because we choose to live here where we want to live here doesn't mean that we want to set up the business here.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the best place, and the world is our playground nowadays. That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look in even to regulation before shaping your business, because a lot of times, and especially when I was younger, when I started a business in Sweden, for example, I would go into how do you start a company, shares, all these things, regulations, paper, two directions. Just this takes 2 months.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you're in a stage where you're very creative, you have a lot of drive. Later in the company, after the first like golden year or the first 2 years, that's when it's getting hard.
Yeah.
So you don't want to waste the first month or half a year or just the regulation. Go with the idea first, launch your business, then you start looking at, say that you see your business model and your business, then you look for the best place to set up the business.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it doesn't work in Bali, maybe it doesn't work in the US where you're coming from. Maybe it doesn't work in Sweden, but always rely on that you're going to find a place.
I also feel like the legal side to starting a business, you can always do along the way.
Yeah.
Once the business is on, and I'm a victim too when I first started. I wanted to do everything by the book and all of that. But after like the second or third business, I realized like I'm flying through businesses. So rather start a business or start 10 businesses. And then as soon as you have one that's actually supporting your way of life, like your living, then take the legal route to try and figure out what you now need to do to make this whole business that you've been running to make it legal. And to be honest with you, the government, they won't come at you and say like, hey, your first 2 months of starting a business, you didn't pay taxes, obviously.
Exactly. Like don't excuse yourself.
Yeah.
There are people that want you to come and live there, to spend your money there. There are other countries that want you to set up your bank account there. There are other countries that want you to set up your business there.
Mm.
So you always have a solution for that. Since I'm from Europe, I have a pretty easy case to set up a business. You can set up a business on Malta or Cyprus. Mm-hmm. You can have the business all over the world.
Mm.
And it's very easy with the, setting up the bank and taxes and all these things are very easy.
Definitely. The only thing that you need to keep in mind if you want to go into a tax haven for tax purposes is do know that it's going to be not difficult, but there's going to be certain things that you will need to comply with. For example, if you want to take money out of the business. So let's say I have a business in Malta. Yes, I don't pay any taxes for that business income, but if I want to take that money and bring that to South Africa or to Bali or wherever I am, let's say I'm in the US, they're going to ask me, where did this money come from? Why? And if it's going to be seen as this business made an income and I'm taking it to cover my life, because obviously you need to pay your rent, fuel, car, whatever you do, food, obviously you need to pay for that. So you'll need to take money out of the business at some point. Then that country is going to tax you for bringing that money into the country, even though it's a business in a different country. So just keep that in mind. If you want to go the tax haven thing, there's always going to be certain drawbacks for going to a tax haven country. There is actually countries where you do pay taxes, but there's tax loopholes. So the country is not seen as a tax haven, so it's easier for you to get money out of that country to yourself without having the questions of banks coming like, hey, where did this money come from and why? Because this money is now coming from a trusted country where it's not seen as a tax haven, so it won't be questioned. So there's always ways around that, and we can make 10 episodes on taxes, so we won't be going too deep into that now.
But bottom line, if your business is not going to succeed, nobody's going to come after you.
Exactly.
If your business is going to succeed, these are going to be good problems for you.
Yeah, definitely. Like if they come and tell you like, hey, you owe us $500,000 in taxes, obviously then you've been doing good.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and a lot of businesses, and I actually suggest people plan for four times as long. A lot of businesses takes a lot longer to go profitable than you might think. Like some people budget maybe 1 or 2 months. Sometimes you need to budget for a year. It's definitely possible, especially if you're starting your very first business. That's going to be very difficult for you to make massive amounts of money from the get-go. So my first few businesses, some made a little bit of money. It just took up so much of my time that I also had to prioritize where I can spend the least amount of time so that I can duplicate the business or grow it much faster.
Yeah.
In that sense, so that even though other business is making a little bit less than this business making a lot, but this business making a lot is taking up all the time of the day, well, this one I can automate completely, then obviously this one is, that's now making less money, is a lot better. That's exactly actually what happened with the software company.
Yeah.
And I'm still keeping the holiday rental company, even though that is exactly the thing there. The holiday rental company was making more money in the beginning than the software company, but I knew that I need to put all my time into the software because there's the most amount of potential there.
Yeah.
But now that things are balancing out, I'm balancing my time as well, because obviously I have people relying on me in that holiday rental company, and I'm not just gonna sell them all to go, and obviously it is making money, so no point to do that either. To do research, obviously, as we said, it's going to be international, so the software company can go for all businesses. The software, to make that software, won't be too difficult. This is basically just like a hosting platform to host the ideas, show them their options. And you don't even need to automate it in the beginning. You can do it everything manually until the work becomes so much that you can't handle it. Then you can ask a professional IT guy or coder or whoever to show you how to automate it. You can even go on YouTube and they can show your videos how to automate that, so that when this business click on this option, they want to use social media marketing in their business. By clicking that button, it will automatically link them, send a notification to this person to then do that.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, if you don't know much, you can literally do everything manually, so that you get a notification when they choose that. You get the payment, then you go yourself to that person, tell them, hey, this is what they want. Here's your information that you need to promote. Here's the money that we owe you. You can do everything manually. You don't need a lot of money to start this. Get someone.
Just to be clear, we're making a platform for content creators to automize their workflow.
Oh, okay. I had a different idea.
You had a different idea? Yeah. Okay.
No, this is good. We're having two businesses now.
Yeah?
$2-1 million companies going on here. I had the idea of the business is going on, on the software, and then looking at the options that they have.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that the content creator goes on, but I guess you can actually combine them with the content creator.
Hold on, you are the content creator for the business. That's your platform.
No. My platform idea is we are just a software company.
Yeah.
That's just showcasing all the options that businesses can go to. For example, to get AI bots.
Yeah.
Like all the best options is there in one platform. Because there is millions now. Just to find one thing out of the list is going to take you a lot of time to do all your research to find the best one. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to make it easy to find the best one in one click. And then we have the section where it's for the content creators, where they can do creator marketing. Buy, for example, a package where it's they just give us the money. Like say this is their budget. And then we will distribute that under the best ones for their market. So they don't.
That's kind of what I'm talking about. Oh, okay. That's automizing their workflow and helping them with the things that they shouldn't work with.
Yeah.
They should work with creating the content, right?
But I'm talking from the business.
Yeah. Like
the business making use of the content creator.
Okay.
Is that what you also, or are you thinking different way?
I'm thinking we are helping the content creators with everything so that they can focus on the content creation.
I do think I understand what you mean, but I do think that we can do both at the same time.
Yeah.
Like you're talking from the content creator, we're doing that for them towards the businesses, and I'm talking about helping the businesses link up to the content creator, but in a sense we are doing both at the same time.
I think it's perfect because we're becoming the home of content creation.
Not just content creation, but anything related, like the AI bots and all of that. Content creation is just one section in this whole thing, and people can add on. I'm sure as you get done with one or two things like that, like the AI chatbots and the content creator section, you will by then have another idea. Let's add a third one, let's add a fourth one.
Yeah.
Of more ideas of like,
are we helping them with softwares that takes care of their income streams also from
anything? We can do anything.
There you go. We never let the customer over the bridge for water, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what you like. And I've noticed when we spoke about the business model of a co-working space, he wanted to have everything in-house so that whoever comes in, the consumer, they can get everything they might want in this one package. So that's exactly what we can do in this old software as well. So you can have anything you might need.
I think one of the things that are so important with not losing the customer because you're lacking some software or some solution they need, I always want to try to have a subscription model because it's so much healthier for the business than the opposite.
Yeah.
Paying up hand and then you have to go out, get a new customer. You never know if they're coming back. One of the keys for that is to have the full solution.
Mm-hmm.
With the co-working space, you never want them to go and eat somewhere else. You don't want them to go and work out somewhere else. Mm. You want the full concept for them, so they feel that they're really getting something for their subscription money.
Mm. I also strongly believe in a subscription basis, because that's what my software is obviously also using, and that's fantastic. I believe it can make any business so much more profitable. In the sense of the software, we can do that in two ways. One, they can pay a very low, let's say $50 a month or something, and then they have access to this whole platform that will give them shortcuts to every single direction that they might think. And then in the marketing sense, they can also have their marketing budget that will then, they tell us this is our budget, and that's can be added onto the subscription basis. And that's also a recurring every month, they're paying that much for marketing. And then we only take our 5 or 10% for linking them with all of the, like, those people. And obviously we can have tiers as well. So if they are, let's say, a small business, they just putting $1,000 into marketing every month, then we can take like 10%. So that's only $100, but that's fair. But if it's a massive enterprise and they're doing $100,000 into marketing every month, then we can go for 2%, and that's $2,000. So it's more appealing for them, and it's still more than enough for us because we didn't do anything. The software connected them like automatically with the correct market. That's an easy way to make that a subscription basis as well. I think we got the business quite sorted out by now.
Yeah.
We're gonna nicely polished.
Talk some more specific numbers, how to get there, how to start the business. When you have a platform, I always like to, I don't want to have any hurdles in the beginning. So I would like to have the best opportunity to get, maximize the traffic to the platform. So if it's possible, not charge for things in the beginning, or you give customers a lot without charging to come in and to gain traffic on the website.
Yeah, build your name.
When they love our product, then they can't get out of it. Yeah. They need to start to pay for it, right? Yeah.
On that, in that case, let's start off then in the sense that getting access, so that $50 a month falls out, getting access to all of these, the whole list of things is for free. So it's like a no-brainer for any business to come in and use this. And then whether they were looking into finding the best chatbot or the best this or the best that, they then fall into the section. And then when they are there, they'll already see, oh, they also do marketing. So we have like all these funnels of funneling people into this. And then we have the section for marketing as well. And that's where we, in the beginning, then make our money. That's where we will make our profit. Then as time goes by and we become profitable, build a name for ourselves, then we can add a subscription basis to have access to this whole thing.
Yeah.
And by then, there's so many new ones as well. So then it will be so much more powerful, more valuable. So it will actually be worth a lot more for people to be willing to then spend money on being part of that subscription.
Also gives you the chance to launch the platform way faster, because people are going to, and customers are going to understand that
it's
free. Okay, they're not paying for it, but it's in beta mode, okay? Instead of waiting, because a lot of times you never reach the perfection you want. So 1 or 2 months free without the subscription cost starting to tick, or do we agree on?
I'll make everything for free for infinity in the beginning until we have that thing like fully sorted and polished out.
Yeah.
Then I'll break the news to all the customers like, hey,
yeah,
in order for us to continue delivering such an amazing service to you guys, we are improving our customer service, we are improving our IT, we're moving to better platforms, we're improving the speed of the website so that it can faster give you all the things you need. But in order to do that, we will need to add the subscription basis. But don't worry, it's super cheap. It's only $20 to start off with.
Yep.
From there on, you can take it wherever you want to.
Yeah.
2 or 3 months later, you can say, so we added cloud storage, you can add this and this. You can save your ads on our software, and these ads will then be shared with the marketing, whoever is in your team, and then they can use your ads to market on their platforms, on their podcast or YouTube channel or wherever. And in order to host the cloud storage, we're bumping the subscription up to $50 a month now. So there is a way. And I've learned it's very good to not just tell customers like, hey, our price is going up. Always give the reason, explain why your price is going up.
Yep.
Because then they'll easily be, okay, sure. Yeah, here's extra. Instead of like, they're bumping up the price again, I'm going to pull out.
Yeah.
So it's very important whenever you bump up price for anything, have a reason behind that. Let's say you have a massive increase in price. You can say, okay, our price is going up 100% now. So we're going from $25 to $50, but don't worry, for the first 3 months, we're giving you 50% discount for all the people that's already a member.
Yeah.
So you guys all will still pay the same for the next 3 months, because you've been such loyal members up until now.
Exactly. I think it's very important that we, the traffic we of the early adopters, we're getting in the beginner, they're part of the company, of growing the company. Yeah. So not just can they take part of or use the beta model, we're going to use them for different commission models. Mm. So I think we're building a commission model too, also.
Yeah.
One of the easiest ways to scale a business. Yeah. Instead of putting your own money into marketing, you actually, you're using your customers or consumers.
Yeah, for sure. So there you guys go. You all got $1 million company from the past 30 to 40 minutes from us. And you don't need to pay us a cent. Just let us know. Just send us a message when you become a millionaire from this idea. Just send us, whether it's Instagram or wherever, tell us like, thanks. Look what you guys made, and we are super happy that we'll be able to get you there. Then you can come and visit us in Bali and come and say hi and show us how your platform is working out and how that's growing. So thank you everyone for watching. Thanks for staying.
Can I give a shout out?
Of course.
Yeah, so shout out to family, previous girlfriends and current girlfriend for understanding the life of an entrepreneur and not having always a salary on the balance sheet every month.
Yeah.
It's tough to for yourself, it's tough to explain, but when you reach the end goal, it's an amazing lifestyle, definitely. I think.
A lot of the entrepreneurs, like a lot of them were either homeless at some point or they were even living on family's couches or like lending money from family. Everyone was there. I actually believe it's part of the whole cycle of getting there. You actually need to go through the good times and the tough times in order to know and to learn before you will get there. So that's exactly why I suggest don't quit your job before you don't get to that a point where you see your business is already going. The last thing I want is someone to come to me and say, hey Daniel, you said I should quit my job and start a freelancing business. So I did, and now I'm on the street, I lost my house, I don't want that. Please don't.
It's always this risk thinking, right? It's like, oh, what's going on with the money? And but you need to love the journey. The journey is your goal.
The journey should be the reason why you're doing it, not the goal that you're working towards. Otherwise, you're going to struggle to build on that journey if you aren't motivated enough to go through it. Like, I love working, especially since it's my own things that I'm working on. So it's torture for me not to go and sit at B-Work and not get some work done. So,
and have you ever seen someone stop after they reach the goal?
No. Except Jeff Bezos. I think he retired.
He stopped?
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe, I don't believe.
Maybe it's still, but I know someone else took over. There's someone else as the CEO of Amazon now. But yes, that's just one case. I love the journey. He loves the journey, and we know you will too. So get on board. Get yourself your business. We're giving you on a silver plate a $1 million company now. So show us what you can do with it. Thank you for tuning in, and thanks for staying until the end. You guys are always my favorites, and I will leave all of his links in the comments below, in the description, including my own. So connect with us on different platforms. We'll be very happy to see you there. And don't forget to leave a comment.
Last thing. Check out Lazy Genius. If you're a startup and you need all kind of help of getting your business going, it's all for free, like our business model we created here. So check it out, lazygenius.vc.
Perfect. I'll leave a link of that down below as well to make it easy for you guys. So thanks for tuning in. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Daniel. It was fun. A pleasure.
Yes.